Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy Stain calling the Housing and Transportation Committee meeting to order. It's April 14th, 2022. Reminder that the meeting is being recorded. And the agenda is of allegiance. Cynthia Thacker. I haven't seen her. Everybody seen Cynthia?
Oh, yes. Everybody, please rise and press your hand and please start to pledge allegiance to the greatest flag in America. I'm sorry. So begin. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic of America,
one nation under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
And then next we'll have the roll call with Linda, and then after the roll call, let's all mute ourselves, okay?
Okay. Okay, Charlene Ashendor. Somebody's got some feedback going on too.
She said she was traveling and she might come in by phone if she could.
Okay. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
And Helen Cameron. I don't see Helen on this. I'll wait a little bit. Sometimes she pops in a little later. Amelia Castro.
Present.
Got it. Carrie Chang.
Present.
Jean Hernandez is
present.
Juno Kim.
Yes, ma'am.
Carol Moore.
Present.
Sandy Stang and Cynthia Thacker. Okay. We have a quorum.
Everyone mute now because you've got a lot of background noise going on. Thank you. All right. Number four, action item 361, review and make findings required by government code. Subsection 549593. Recommendation: continue virtual meetings to proclaim state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. So we'll need a motion and a second, and then we'll need to vote on this action item.
Jean Hernandez, I'll move it.
Okay, thank you, Jean. Second?
Second, Denise Barnes.
Thank you, Denise. Okay, and then can we read the roll?
Yes,
everyone.
I can do that.
Okay, yeah. Everyone will be answering yes or no, please.
Okay, so Charlene is not here. Charlene Ashendorf. Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes? Denise Barnes?
She must have stepped away.
Yes. Sorry, I couldn't unmute.
Oh, no problem. Yes. Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron's not here, right, for now?
Right.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez?
Yes.
Juno Kim?
Probably muted.
I think you're muted, Juno.
Juno, are you muted?
He is muted. Oh, he gave a thumbs up.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thank you, Juno. Carol Moore?
Aye.
Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker?
No.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then number five, the senior non-emergency medical transportation report from Jeanette. She gets to do dual roles today.
Yeah. Well, hello, everyone, again. I wanted to report on the January stats for the senior non-emergency medical transportation. Hopefully everyone can see my screen. And if you need me to enlarge it, just please let me know. So let's get started. So the total trips provided for Area 1 in January was 2,375. Area 2 was 2,254. Area 3 was 4,016. Average cost per trip in Area 1 was $50.08. Area 2 was $47.13. And Area 3 was $43.76. The average trip length for Area 1 is 5.91 miles, Area 2 is 8.71 miles, and Area 3 is 5.18 miles. The average cost per mile for Area 1 was $8.48, Area 2 was $5.41, and Area 3 was $8.45. And that concludes my report. Does anyone else have any questions? I do have a couple of announcements, if you don't mind, but I would field questions first before I go into the announcements.
We're getting a lot of feedback. Can we have everybody mute?
June, there.
Okay. All right, I think we lost the feedback. So if you don't have any other questions, I'm gonna go on ahead and just make a quick announcement. So, let me do this real quick. I can't see everyone while I'm sharing, but I wanted to make an announcement that I do have someone who's gonna be taking over my role for the SCAC Housing and Transportation Committee. Her name is Farah Lawless, and she is one of our managers at the Office on Aging. So she's going to be taking over the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program. So Farah, if you don't mind, I want to put you on the spot, but if you don't mind saying a little something about yourself for the group so they can get to know you a little bit.
Of course. Hello, everyone. I'm Farah Lawless. I have been with the county since 2016, and then I also worked a little bit at the city level for City of Anaheim and City of Fountain Valley. I came to OCCS, particularly to the Office on Aging, in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. So I learned the programs the way they are now, so I think that could be beneficial in a sense because it's been carrying on. I started here at OCCS as a staff specialist, and I've recently taken on a temporary promotion as an administrative manager. That's the reason why I will be taking over the SNEMT program as a contract manager for future. And I really look forward to meeting everyone and working with all of you. I'm excited. I'm excited for the opportunity. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Farah, and welcome. So Farah will be your main point of contact moving forward for the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Report. I will still be available, of course, to support Farah and the team with whatever you need, but I might not be making it to every meeting after today. That's it for my report. If you don't have any other questions, Sandy, we can move on to the next.
You know, if we could get contact info for Farah, her phone number.
Absolutely.
Put it in the chat.
In the chat box, sure. Farah, do you mind putting that in the chat box for me?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and put my cell phone number in the chat box. That would be the best way to reach us right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Helen apparently is in the off, and she needed to be let in as a panelist. So let me go and let Helen in.
Before you move on, thanks for your help too. We appreciate it. And thank you for letting me in. I've been on the meeting since the beginning, but
I am so sorry, Helen. I'm covering Desiree today. I'm not that familiar with the different rooms. So thank you for your patience. And thank you all for welcoming me to the group. Again, I'm still here, not going anywhere so far. But so if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to assist.
Did I get muted?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that? Okay, the question I was asking was, with the price of gas that keeps going up and down and up and down, well, not so much, are there gonna be problems with funding for this program?
So there isn't, so far, thankfully, there isn't any, aren't any issues right now with funding. As you all know, or you might not know actually, since we have a lot of new members in the committee, we actually receive our funding from OCTA, Measure M2, and from the tobacco settlement revenue from OC Healthcare Agency. So far, because we've had pretty good, steady ridership, and now it's being increased a little bit more. We do have some, some anticipated increases in, the projection for taxes and all that, which then turns around and funds this program. So far, based on the projections, we don't foresee any issues just yet. But our providers, we have increased their funding a little bit for this year, like added money, but without having to borrow from anywhere. Because of the unexpected increase in gas prices.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Anybody else have any questions? Did you have one, Gene?
No, I did nothing to say. Again, Juno, I think that's where we're getting the feedback from, so you need to mute. Juno? Yeah, I think we need to mute him.
I'll mute it.
Okay. So we'll go on to number 6, which is the presentation. And I believe, Denise, would you like to introduce John Poynter?
I'll introduce him. I am very curious about the California Legislative Board, something that I learned about coming on to SCEC. And I think it's real important to see what's going on behind the scenes at the higher level, so that way we can bring that information to our communities. So I'm very proud that he has the time to do this, that he's willing to do this. As we all know, our schedules are busy, but whether we're retired or not, he's been at there on the front lines, and I appreciate that. John, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, great. You ready to begin?
I am going to try to bring my slides up here.
Okay.
So bear with me just a minute.
No problem.
Okay. Now you can see everything else I'm doing. Here we go. Can everybody see the slides?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is John Poynter. I am the chair of the Joint Rules Committee for the California Senior Legislature. So our organizational structure takes on or mirrors the legislature. So while in another circle, I might be called the director, in this particular arrangement, I'm referred to as the chair for the Joint Rules Committee. There is a chair of the Ledge Committee, and we have an executive director and a temp. At one point in time, we had close to five people on the CSL in a permanent, in a paid status. The only person paid at this current time is the executive director and the temp. So I envision that at sometime here in 2023, we will add potentially something like a ledge director. So that's our organizational structure. With that small staff, we do an awful lot. What do we do? As Denise said, so who are you? So this is our mission. We were created by Henry Mello into by legislation in 1983. Mr. Mello is the individual that also came up with Mello Roofs. Okay. While we're not associated with property taxes, he did have a brilliant plan to engage seniors in the state that has held up for over 40 years with many different changes and iterations. The approach was, again, to mirror the legislature. So we have 40 senior senators and 80 senior assembly members in the various counties across the state where there are AAAs. In some places, there are multiple AAAs consolidated into a PSA. There are 33 PSAs. If you're following that closely, you also understand that that's currently being examined by the California Department of Aging in terms of, do we need 33? Do we need 90? Do we need 10? What's the magic number here in terms of servicing seniors, which is great. I think it'll put more emphasis on the fastest growing population in the state of California. And we do not want to compete with children and education. However, there seems to be an article a day on how, where have all the kids gone in terms of attendance at the school system. Since we mirror the legislature, it is appropriate for us to meet in the legislative chambers in Sacramento. You won't find any other organization except for the Girls or Boy Scouts that does that. And that's us in the Senate and Assembly chambers. We convene annually in Sacramento. We have not done an in-person session in 2 years. However, I don't think I'll have to eat crow this year. Last year I said we'd be in person and that didn't happen. I was confident last year. I'm still confident this year. We're going to meet in person in Sacramento. So I want to emphasize the fact that we're nonpartisan. So we're not a Democratic organization. We're not a Republican organization. We're not an independent party organization. The key to our success is to remain impartial. We interact with legislators. And it is irrelevant what my political affiliation is. Okay, what I'm trying to do is get a bill authored by a legislator and get it passed, or emphasize a budget ask and ensure that that gets passed to ensure funding for a particular program. An example would be, we're trying to establish a behavioral administrator in the state. We tried legislation that didn't get passed. We're now following California Commission on Aging, and they are pursuing a budget ask to fund this position. We support that 100%. Our volunteers used to be, had to be 60 and above. We've lowered that to 55 and above. Without creating ripples in the organization with Elizabeth being here, I could see that at some point going down to 50 and mimicking ARP, AARP. But right now it's 55. And we have representatives from the entire state. In Orange County, PSA 22, we have 7 representatives, 2 senior senators and 5 senior assembly members. There will be an election using the AAA Advisory Committee in May, and which those results will be publicized later on. I'm going to get into what we really do in just a minute, but our track record over our 40-year history is that we have had over 200 proposals signed into law. That's pretty remarkable. So what is that? Average out to about 5 a year. So what I want to also amplify for you and put it in perspective is, so if those 5 a year got signed by a governor, that means that there were many more proposals that came before CSL that did not get signed. So just a rough calculation, there's over 1,000 legislative proposals that have been submitted over the course of this 40-year history. Pretty, again, quite remarkable for a group of seniors who are all volunteers, with the exception of our executive director at this point in time. So there were many that I could pull from, but 2 that jump out to me and are, I think have had a lot of publicity over the years, is the Silver Alert program. You're driving down the freeway and you see that there's a message on that freeway sign. Typically, it's either there's a traffic accident, there's an amber alert, or there's a silver alert. Silver alert is the senior or elderly alert identifying that somebody has gone missing. The other bill that has received a lot of publicity is SB 128, the end of life option bill. So again, those are just 2 examples. This is what our annual session looks like. Here are members that are representing, we have currently 8 caucuses in the state. They are divided into geographic or regional areas. So there is a Northern California caucus that typically is comprised of rural areas. And this doesn't, this is something that flew over my head until I became a member of CSL. We always think of California as this massive urban state. And in reality, I believe there are 2 states. Now, I'm not advocating secession here. I'm just pointing out to you that there's, in geographically, I think there's 2 major areas. There's the major urban areas that make up the San Franciscos, the San Jose's, the Los Angeles's, the San Diego's, and there are also smaller cities. Orange County has a number of cities. Don't forget Santa Barbara, Sacramento. I can go on, but there's also, I believe, a number of areas in Northern California, Butte, Shasta counties, Alpine, Inyo. Gee, I'm showing my geographic shortcomings. Kings County, Tulare, et cetera, that do not have these massive urban populations, but still have issues that the state needs to be aware of, and especially impacting older Californians. So that's why we've created a Northern California caucus that's really focused on rural issues. I've mentioned the Bay Area, Orange County, Los Angeles, San Diego, and we have a Central Valley that will be made up of Sacramento, Merced, Kern, Stanislaus, that kind of thing, that will deal with Central Valley issues. So the other picture down here represents our policy committees. We're divided into five Senate and five Assembly policy committees that are identified as finance and insurance, health, housing and transportation, social and community, and state and local. We have not divvied those up into perhaps MPA goals. There are five MPA goals. You could theoretically break those up. We're looking at that, but right now we're sticking with this for the time being. So this just gives you a picture of our older Californians in one of the hearing rooms that we have access to during the annual session. So people ask me, what the heck do you come to Sacramento for? You can be just as effective meeting virtually. We've proven we can meet virtually. In spite of the perceptions, you'll never be able to do that with all of those seniors. We proved them wrong. We've been very effective, and our members have adapted. However, there is nothing like meeting in person for our group. It allows for, yes, we see everybody on a Zoom meeting. There's something to be said for meeting socially after hour on the first evening and everybody reconnecting. Plus, I think that's the best venue for our members as well. So there'll always be an in-person session. And there is something about meeting in chambers that has a great deal of effect and power for our members. Okay, I've got two more slides. Just a reference item for you. Not everybody can be a member of CSL. We're limited by our 120 members. However, we have an organization called the Friends of CSL. This organization is a informal collection of individuals. There are about 500 at this point. And what we do is we give them an opportunity to interact with us. We engage them. We offer the opportunity for them to promote legislative proposals drafted by CSL. So they're basically our ambassadors in the community. And it allows them to, again, interact with us and also spread the message about CSL. If you would like to get involved or become a member of that, you can simply email me, JRC, chair. JRC is all capitalized. Chair is capitalized, the C in chair. I'll put it in the chat room as well, at gmail.com. Now, hold on just a second. I'll mute that so you don't have to hear about my waste disposal organization. Okay. Now, what I wanted to then do was talk to you about what's our basically our mission, legislation. I don't know if it got sent out yesterday or not, but I sent you a, it did. I sent you a copy of the CSL Advocate. Did anybody get that? Okay. If not, let me try and see if I can pull that up.
John, I can share it. I have it. I think I'm so sorry. I might have accidentally muted you. I'm so sorry, John.
Yeah. Whoops. I thought I was unmuting myself. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, let me pull that up and I'll share that with a group.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, bear with me a moment and I'm going to share that right now. And then let me know once everyone can see it and if you need it enlarged.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah. It's a little bit tiny. Sorry. So let me, is that better?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So all this is designed to do, it's focused on what we do. So it just gives you a overview of what we think is going on. And then the pages 2 and 3 talk to our specific bills that have been picked up. And then pages 6 through 9 give you a summary of legislation within the legislature that affects seniors. That is produced by Justice and Aging. So that includes our bills as well as other bills that senior organizations that have elected to submit that information to Justice and Aging summarizes. So it is not all inclusive. Okay, there are still bills that are out there that are not identified through this process. So it's an awfully good tool to track what's going on with specific bills, and the beauty of it is it's also portrayed by the MPA goals, Master Plan for Aging goals, which again is extremely beneficial. Okay, I'm going to ask you to pull that down and I'm gonna bring one more document up for you. This is our this is our report that we produce on a monthly basis through the legislative session. So this identifies the bills that we have had picked up. And the beauty of this report is it gives you the link that allows you to go to Ledge Info. Let's see if it'll take me there. There you go. There's the bill. So this is the status of the bill. You get the same thing in history. You can find out about bill analysis. So every time this bill goes to a committee, there is an analysis performed.
John, we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it, John.
Oh, okay. Okay, how about that? Nope.
No.
I'm seeing it.
No, I think he's trying to get to the link, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that again. Okay, I'll leave that alone. I'll just talk to it. So what you saw was, if you click on this, LegInfo is the legislator's tool for the state of California that summarizes every bill that's before the legislature. And it gives you the history. It tells you, it shows you the actual bill. It shows the markups. And it also gives you, as I was saying, an analysis of the bill before, as it goes before every committee. So it tells you who's in support, who's in opposition, and it provides an analysis for the legislators as well. Pretty powerful stuff. So these are all of our bills. And then we also provide for people what we're supporting. So we identify bills that we are supporting as well. This report is published, used to be published monthly. We're simply going to publish it once now. Why? Because you can get all the information right here now on the status of the bill. You can, all, if something intrigues you, say, oh, wow, AB 1884 really is something I'm interested in, you can go into LegInfo, sign up, and you will get alerts on that bill. And it will tell you when the next committee hearing is. It will also tell you when that bill is passed, it's placed in suspense, whatever. Okay? Okay. That is CSL in a nutshell. Denise, thank you for the opportunity to come before this group today to speak to CSL. When I first got involved with CSL, I was a newbie. I had no clue what I was getting involved in. I thought it was just another organization, you know, where I show up and I'm entertained in a way. You know, there's information that is shared with me, or I'm expected to go out and maybe make a couple presentations. That this is the most fascinating organization I've ever been involved in. The ability to impact the lives of seniors at the state level through legislation and the budget is beyond what I ever imagined. Yes, you're up close with all the warts and idiosyncrasies that are associated with the legislature and bills and budgets, but damn, you're a player, okay? You're in it, you're in the game. You're not just sitting there going, pounding the table. I can't believe this is happening to seniors. So I can't speak enough about what CSL is all about and what we do. So you may not be a CSL member, but I think that the Friends of CSL is yet another option. And it's just, again, a way to participate in the legislative process without going through the electoral process at the state level to be a assembly member and a senator. So are there any questions, ladies and gentlemen?
Actually,
Helen's got her hand up.
Carol was first, let her go.
Thank you, you are so nice. I guess I have a concern. I see the three bills and those look really good. However, my concern is that constantly from the legislature, we get so many bills and they haven't been thought through
and they have unintended consequences. And I think when you referred to the state is not the same, you are very correct. Northern California, I'm just going to use water for an example because it's such a blatant one. They want rules that will all use the same amount of water. Well, Southern California has recycled water. They don't. We've been working on this for a long time. So when we state, okay, you're only going to use a certain amount, well, then all that recycled water would go to the ocean. That would be a waste. I realize that's not necessarily a senior goal, but what I see, I get frustrated because I see all these bills and I think, wait a minute, this sounds good, but let's think about how it affects this over here. And I want to give an example that I don't even know was on there because I could only see three. The other ones went by so fast, I have no idea what they were about. But one of them, I heard about it and it sounds great. And the idea was that we would force all the assisted living to have backup generators. Well, first off, that's a cost. And it's a cost to the people. We have seniors who can't afford even these costs. So when we drive up the cost, you think, well, it's a safety. Do you realize that a backup generator isn't something that you just buy it and set it out there? It has to be tested. You have to run it. It runs on diesel, by the way, generally. So there are a lot of these additional factors that I don't think were fully contemplated. And if I sound frustrated, I think I am because I read these things and I think, oh my goodness, this sounds good. Well, I better leave it at that. You can see I'm frustrated. Less bills for me would work better than more bills. And the few that we pass should be really good ones. Thank you so much.
Carol, you're making a political argument.
True.
Yeah, it depends what side of the fence you're on.
Pardon?
It depends what side of the fence you're on.
Not with the water, kiddo. The water issue is what it is. We have recycled water, and that's the
way. No. I know we do, but I'm saying.
Okay, well, I don't want to argue.
Bills that are made are not for us, Southern California. They're made for Northern California.
Well, when you have a bill, it covers the whole state. So there you go.
I absolutely agree with you, but that's why I'm not in that particular party.
Is there another question?
I'm independent, so I get to say things.
Moving right along, is there another question? I think Helen, you have a question.
Helen's question.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for that presentation. I had never heard about this organization. It sounds like you're doing important work representing our older adults. You mentioned a behavioral advisor. Can you talk about what that is or what's intended to be? I've been very involved in the mental health system for 23 years. And are we talking about a behavioral health advisor or what are we talking about?
Administrator.
Ah, okay. So no. Okay. So the other thing that was impressive was to see the connection between the legislation and the master plan on aging. As you know, John, we're the Housing and Transportation Committee here. So can you refer to any proposed legislation that affects those two issues?
The CSL advocate, Helen, that was distributed to everybody?
Not me.
well, they'll send it out again, okay?
Yes.
Identified the bills for CSL by MPA goal. Okay. And also on a broader scale, there is a group at the state level made up of a litany of various senior organizations that works to identify legislation affecting seniors by MPA goal well beyond simply CSL. I think there's 35 to 40 bills identified there and stratified by MPA. So that will give you a very good idea as well. Lastly, yesterday there was a Zoom meeting of the subcommittee on transportation. And the task of that group was to, they pulled in, I didn't think they were going to be able to do this, but they pulled in CTA, and they were represented by five members in various capacities with CTA to talk about transportation and its effect on seniors, as well as the disabled. So I think there's off to a great start in regards to that. There were several CSL, I think there were close to 10 CSL members in attendance there, and there are going to be more meetings. And I think that's an opportunity. We'll try to provide you with the next meeting information, and maybe someone from this committee. There's no limit on who can attend, and you might enjoy seeing where they're going and what kind of emphasis they're placing on transportation. Something to think about.
And my final question, John, you know you need to be muted again. My final question is, can you talk about who our local legislators are?
1 second.
Sorry, Judy. Helen, there's a little
Juno, yeah. Can you mute, please? Juno?
Could you tell us who our local legislators are that are active with CSL?
Can I tell you who the CSL members are in Orange County?
Yes. No, the active as legislators.
Can I tell you who the legislators are representing Orange County?
For CSL.
Okay. Yes. Myself, Dave Tetzloff, Elizabeth Busick, Sherry Horn. Am I going too fast? Tony Rodella and Kathy Meschuk. Jim Levy.
Okay, I think I'm asking about assembly members and senators.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to really task me there. It was in the Orange County Register yesterday. I pulled it out, so this is going to be really rough. I tell you what, why don't I send a summary to Denise of the legislators representing Orange County that I'll simply copy from the Orange County Register. But they include Senator Pat Bates, Senator David Mann, Senator from Fullerton. Sorry, I'm having a senior moment. And then there's a number of assembly members. So I'll simply summarize that for you. It'll be by district as well, legislative district.
But John, these are people who are active with CSL?
Okay, we're going back and forth. So I gave you the seven CSL members that are in Orange County.
Right.
Okay, so that was Jim Levy, that was myself, Tony Rodella, that group. So then I thought you wanted me to tell you who the legislators were, but you want the CSL members is what I continue to hear, correct?
I think I'm not communicating directly. John, I'm asking you, are there particular electeds, let me use that word, who are active with CSL?
From Orange County or across
the country? What she's asking, are there electeds assigned to CSL? Are there electeds that's their job
to
attend CSL?
No.
So it's just their generic responsibility.
So what happens, Gene, Helen, is through the 40 years, we have identified individuals that interact with us more frequently. How's that for politically correct? Interact more frequently with us than others. Senator Pat Bates is an example. That's just one. Laura Davies has a bill that was authored by CSL, and she has picked it up. Those are just two examples. So out of the 120, I'd say we interact with 20 to 30%, maybe 40%. We have a relationship with Aging and Long-Term Care Committee. There's a natural relationship because they're involved with the aging community. So there's about 7 members there across the state that we interact with. And then we broaden it from there. Golly, popular guy today. Health and Human Services are 2 committees, both Senate and Assembly, that we interact with. So, but we don't have much opportunity to interact with the Ag Committee, as an example. We interact with Transportation and Housing. So there's more committees that we interact with, but not all of them. Does that help?
Helen.
Thank you. I've got it. Thank you.
Okay. Denise has had her hand up for a while. Good thing it's not your real hand. You'd be
yes.
Tired.
Thank you. John, I just happened to remember that there were other layers to the legislative. And when I saw your name come up, I thought, he's in our group. And then I realized that this, you can get more traction, I would say, in being able to come from SCAC, then move to another division or section of how the Office on Aging or how our state would represent us. But I just love that, as you say, you have other core people that come together across the whole state, so it's not just Southern California, and you can discuss these things legislatively. And so I try to follow those bills and then bring it back to my community so they know what's going on, especially after COVID, especially after our nursing homes were impacted so horribly. You finally tie up the loose ends that were just dragging there. And as Carol Moore pointed out, a generator, but you have no idea after the discussion to say, okay, what is one life worth compared to one generator that could help? And of course it has to be discussed and all that and rules and permits and all the other red tape. But I would hate to know that my parent or somebody was not being looked after because we didn't think it through. And I'd love to be in a fly in the room with you when you discuss these things. So that way I can hear what everybody's input is. So I think I'd like to jump into CSL or Friends of CSL and like to move myself up the ladder, but being also at the baseline here in the city and in the county.
But there's a couple of key points there, Denise, that I'd like to just respond to. Absolutely, in regards to Friends, please send me an email and I will add you to the list. Another opportunity is anybody that attends Senior Rally Day, May 3rd. I sent a registration link to Erica yesterday that will be percolating down to the SCAC members. This is a free Zoom event that brings together the individuals intimately involved with the master plan for aging at the governor's level, at the California Department of Aging level. And then also there will be a panel of legislators representing the chairs of Aging and Long-Term Care, Health, Human Services, and Transportation, and they're going to provide us lessons learned about the implementation of MPA so far. And then in the afternoon, there's an advocacy piece where attendees are able to interact with the authors of 12 to 14 bills impacting seniors. Number two, distribution. You know, as a volunteer organization that is a state agency, we have certain distribution chains that we can utilize. Communicating with the AAAs, using these advisory committee organizations, but a certain level, we lose, I'll say, control. So we get it to the AAAs, we get it to the advisory committees, and then ultimately we keep our fingers crossed that that information is then taken down to where the rubber meets the road, where the senior community is at, whether that's at the senior center, whether that's senior organizations like Alzheimer's, whether that's OCAS or other organizations trying to get the information out about what we do in the legislation. But it's really at a certain point, it's word of mouth. We're not ARP. We do not have a budget that allows us to do what ARP does. The public relations affiliated with that is staggering. But we continue to try and get what we do out there and rely on word of mouth and direct people to our website, Facebook page, and meetings like this to spread the word. So again, your help is extremely important to us. So thanks, Denise, for the question. Appreciate it.
I think Carol Moore had her hand up again.
I just wanted to make a quick comment to make sure we understand when there's an outage, Edison determines. They don't just let a certain group go out. So they do understand, and there's a determination on that. And that's since there's some common sense involved in it, we need to understand the total picture. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go down that road. I've got some real comments about that, and they don't agree with Carol, but I'm going to move on in regards to that. So I'll leave it at that. I think what we'll agree to do is let's agree to disagree. And to go back to Denise's issue, just a reminder, every proposal that CSL submits is vetted through that annual session. That's what that committee process is designed to do. Those bills go through committee, then they go on the floor, then they go back to committee, then they go on the floor, and then they're voted by the entire membership as well. And then the task is to try to find an author. An author is a legislator in regards to that, who is going to give it the same vetting. And what separates us from the rest of the other organizations out there that primarily are nonprofits is we have a relationship with Ledge Council. So when we present a proposal, they give us a bill in bill language, that proposal that has been researched, just like the legislator's bill has been researched and vetted. So there's a lot more to it than just John writing down on a piece of paper, I've got a vision or an idea in regards to that. So anyway, any other questions, folks? Denise?
One last question. Do you hear anything coming down the pike regarding mobile homes and rent caps?
We've been involved with that issue over the years. There's nothing right now, but it always resurfaces, Denise, because that's an extremely important portion of senior housing across the state.
Yes.
We have been engaged in that issue numerous times. So we'll always be engaged with that. So Denise, there are 7 CSL members and most of them on the Ledge Committee. That's the old term. Feel free to corner them if you have an issue you want to raise, and let's see if we can put it in a proposal language. Proposals are due from CSL members in June.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just, after being on city council, I realize that unless you have the votes from the rest of the council, you're just a lonely ship. But that's why I liked learning about your participation and at least you're up a couple notches to where maybe you can get a little bit more traction. So thank you, John. I super appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Denise, for inviting me today. This has been great. I really appreciate it.
John, I have one question for you. So now that more of us have been exposed to CSL and maybe understand it a little bit better, going forward, what should we be doing to be active? Should we be contacting one of the seven of you when there's an issue that we think needs to go forward? Or how do we go about this?
Well, that's an excellent question. What I would hope is that if you feel so compelled, join Friends of CSL. Two, the document that I identified that summarizes the bills and what bills we support gives you an overview of what we're involved in. Learn more about that. Three, you now know who the seven CSL members are. If you have an idea, corner them. And let's see if there's something we can put together in terms of a legislative proposal. Four, attend Senior Rally Day. That is the closest thing you're going to find to a grassroots effort for seniors to come together and make their voices heard. Just as you have discovered at the city council level, at the county level, and at the state level, votes count. If I show up as a single citizen, thanks, John. If I show up as a representative of an organization in which I have 700 letters of support on an issue, that makes a lot of difference. That's the intent of the CSL Advocate, where we share the legislative bills that are out there impacting seniors, because the MPA portion came from the senior organizations across the state that say, these are the issues out there that we support. So we're speaking as one voice, and it's extremely important. Even though everybody as an elected official at the state level, at the county level, I believe at the city, is aware the senior population is growing exponentially. Okay. However, the perception is we vote, but we're a silent majority. That needs to change. Okay, and that's what my organization or our organization, and that's what the senior organizations across the state are attempting to do, is to make sure people understand that there are issues out there that we are bringing to you that need your attention. And your attention translates to a vote and a yes vote. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Any other questions? I don't see any, but thank you very much, John. Excellent presentation. I learned a lot. I didn't know most of this.
Great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking your time. We really appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Excellent. Thank you, Denise. That was a great idea. And I think, I mean, I can tell people what to do, but as many of us that can, I think we should try to join the Friends of CSL so we stay informed of what's going on. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Anything before we go forward? All right. Number seven is chair items, so new business. So we need to talk about our speakers for the remainder of the year. Jean has a speaker for May. It's going to be OCTA and TCA update. And then we are dark in June. And then we come back in July, and we don't have anything for July. So when we do our roundtable, I'm going to ask each of you that hasn't gotten a speaker this year to either take July, August. I found someone for September, and we have October and November. And the next thing for old business, just a reminder, our goals. Number one is housing for all ages and stages. And number two is affording aging. Oh, thanks. Put that back up there if you don't mind, Jeanette. That'll be good. That'll help us as we're going on the round table. You can just maybe leave it up there for a little while. And then we'll go to number eight, which is announcements and round table. And I'm gonna have Gene go first because he has to leave early, and then we'll start with Cynthia. And just a reminder, it's 2 minutes. It should be on housing and transportation and or what's going on in your community. And don't forget, this is being recorded, okay? So let's start with Gene.
Thank you, Chair Sandy. Just a real quick comment on the speakers that we'll have in May. If you recall, a little bit of background, that was where we were concerned about the high cost, that everyone pays the same toll prices, and how is there any thoughts given to seniors getting a discount on that? Oh. And so we want to focus on our questions on that with these two groups. OCTA doesn't really have authority over the TCA on the freeway, on the over
road toll,
the tolls. But they do have other areas that we can question about available type of discount for senior transportation, whether it be, you know, there's a number of services out there. So that's, I'm going to call with TCA right now. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay. And then we'll go to Cynthia, and then don't forget to talk about what month you'd like to take and who you could bring for a speaker.
Well, I thought about it while Gene was talking, and you're right, I haven't done very well on that subject. So I will take August, and I have to think about it, but I'll take August. Okay. And just nothing really major in our Buena Park, which is so far away from most of you guys. But I did sign up for already yesterday for the, I guess you call it a rally, the senior thing, what John was talking about. Yeah.
Senior rally. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I signed up for that already.
Yeah, we should yesterday. All try to sign up. Terrific. Yeah. Okay.
And that's it.
All right. Let me see, I lost my sheet. Oh, real quick for my comments, because we're going to go backwards today. There were two articles. One I thought of you, Denise. This was in the New York Times, and it's dated Sunday, March 27th. And it's talking about investors that are buying mobile home parks. And the title is, "And Then the Residents Pay the Price." And I won't go into the whole thing, but if you want to take a look, they're talking about some of the people in that area of the world. It's in more like the East Coast. Oh, no, I take it back. It was Colorado. She moved and her rent space was $625 and now it's been doubled. And so they're talking about how this is affecting not just seniors, but a lot of people, but a lot of times seniors even more. And then the next article I saw in the New York Times, also March 13th, we had talked about this article's titled "Building a Generational Partnership for the Aged." And I had a call from a woman that was looking for housing, sort of like Golden Girls, if you will. And this article talks about how they're trying to put some of this housing together with the younger people, as well as seniors in houses, so you don't have to move to a facility. And then we'll go to Carol Moore.
Yeah, I had to land up for several things there. One of them is that investor issue is a big one as far as I'm concerned in purchasing, and it's happening in our county too. And in fact, I think there was an article, and I think it was on CalMatters, about the increasing number of seniors that are finding themselves falling into homelessness. I feel like that's something we should be focusing on. And this one doesn't sound related, but it is. When diesel particulate is in the air, it affects seniors particularly. And this diesel particulate is a issue. I've brought it up at SCAG, Southern California Association of Governments, to put it on our agenda to discuss the ports. You're probably aware the port corridor is a terrible problem with the diesel particulate. And the reason I'm bringing this up might be interesting to know, because you can, one, I have asking that they review using biofuel, because you can blend it in the trucks, so you don't have to have, we can't move to total electric, as you probably understand. So you have to think about how can you address it. And the reason I'm bringing this up, how does this affect us? It does affect us, because diesel particulate is a health issue. And so I think it might be interesting to know if how it's used, and I don't know, in our transportation system, are we blending diesel with those? I know we're using natural gas and there are other things going on, but is that a part of the mix? Thank you for considering that.
I think that's a great idea, and that does fall into transportation if you think about it. Do you want to try and find a speaker on that?
I hate to dump this on Jean. Jean's probably going, oh no, but actually doesn't that fall, Jean, you would have the background on that, wouldn't you, with the OCTA, what they're doing with biofuels, if they are? Thank you.
He might be gone. He had to go to a meeting.
Oh, well, no, I'm still here. I just heard that request. It sounds like it applies to all vehicles, though. Not, are you just looking at public transportation like buses?
Well, the reason I brought up diesel, anything with diesel, and the reason I brought it up for Skag is that, you know, you have that concentration of diesel trucks there at the port, and you don't have to change them out because you can blend the fuel. So what I wondered, in the public transportation in Orange County, I know we're using natural gas where we can, and I don't even know how heavily diesel is still a factor. I'm bringing
it's not. It's not. Our whole fleet is now moved away from diesel. There are no buses that are on diesel.
Okay. And I know that's true. Metrolink is going to biofuels. So, okay. What about the trains? Because the trains idle there, particularly I happen to know that they idle in the Anaheim area.
Well, the ones that OCT has control over, like Metrolink, no. But the ones that you're talking about, those are different companies. And we don't have a lot of influence on them other than legislative, going through what you've already heard John so eloquently talk about.
Well, what I'm asking then is it possible? Because it's not, perhaps it takes legislation, I don't know, but is it possible to work with where you see it particularly is where they sit in the idle. And that's and I'm talking now about the railroads themselves. So is there anything that would be helpful to get them on board without, you know, there's always legislation, but is there another way? But that's I'm not against that either.
Well, I've dealt with the railroads before, and they're very difficult, like Santa Fe, they're very difficult to deal with. The reason and I got involved as a councilman because communities or citizens were complaining about the idling that was making noise all night. And they'll argue the reason they idle is because that's how they keep their refrigerator units going.
Right.
So they have to have that on there. So yeah, it's.
But could they blend? Could they blend the biofuels, reduce the particulate? I don't know.
It depends if it costs them more money, which it will. And that's when they'll say no. They're not going to spend more money.
True. But since diesel fuel was in a little sharp supply there and it's gone up, I wonder. All right.
Okay.
I do have to take off now, though. But thank you, Chair Sandy. Good job.
Okay. Thank you, Jean, for everything. Juno Kim. You still with us, Juno?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, we need a speaker for you, and we need a month.
Yeah. Gosh, at this moment, I don't have any idea. I have to talk to my friends, Jerry.
Why don't you and I talk later on the phone and maybe we can come up with an idea for you? I do have one idea, and so we can talk about it later. We haven't had an update in a while from the streetcar in Santa Ana, and I know that's become a hot political issue. So I'll give you the contact information, and you just have to send them an email and try to contact them.
Okay.
Okay. And how about if I put you down for November so that I can have time to work on it? All right.
Yes, I got an echo in my computer here, and I guess it's my hearing or whatever. I cannot get the 100% understanding of what you're saying. So
you can't understand me?
Yeah, so we do.
After the meeting, not today because I have another meeting right away, but later on, you and I'll talk on the telephone and I'll give you an idea and then you just contact people for this.
Sure.
And I
said, okay.
I put you down for November.
Okay.
Okay. And then do you have anything you want to say for housing and transportation comments? No? Are you wearing hearing aids? Is that why there's feedback? I don't think he's hearing me. Anything else, Juno, you wanted to say?
One important thing that what happened to me is that in my community people realize that the what I am doing really helping seniors. Somebody donated some money so that I can do a better job. So it is a good thing. I'll be using it for the transport seniors in case of emergencies, and then I'll be using it for buying some ethnic food for the seniors and all that. So I'm grateful, and I'm doing just a little bit of what I do, helping seniors in my community. That's all.
Okay, thank you for doing that. Jerry Chang?
Okay, I'm gonna work with Juno regarding for his topic about on November. So let me talk with Juno. We decided.
Okay.
So what the project, okay?
And then if you can find anything, we'll talk and I'll give you the contact information and you can contact and have an update on the streetcar project.
Oh, that's fine. That's perfect.
Okay, if you can't find anything.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you. Amelia?
I'll take September.
Okay, great.
And I don't know what topic, but I'll figure something out.
Okay, if you can, we're light on transportation. We've had a lot of housing.
Okay.
Either one will work.
Okay.
Any other comments you want to make about housing or transportation or the meeting or anything?
No, it was a great meeting. A lot of good information. So thank you, Denise, for bringing that speaker.
Yeah, I thought it was very good too. Okay, Helen?
Yes, I don't know if they'll be ready yet, but we talked about having the results of the point in time count, and obviously that would affect the need for senior housing.
Yes.
For homeless folks, which we know is a growing concern. So if we could make that happen in July, I think they should be ready by then. And I'd be happy to reach out to OCCR and see if they are ready, or healthcare agency. And I think, didn't you say, Sandy, that you already had someone for September? I know you plugged Amelia in there, but.
You see. Yes, I contacted 211 and they're going to give us a talk.
So we need to move the September one.
That's September, but I don't have any, the only thing we have down is May. So we have, and June we're dark.
Right, so July.
July would be fine if you think they'll be ready by then.
Well, I don't know. I don't control that, but maybe someone else on the call knows the timing of those, that data, but as soon as it's released, we want to have the numbers.
Yeah, if not, we could always go into August if it's not ready
right
by July.
Exactly. Okay, let me put myself down for that. And then I want to make a couple of comments. Tomorrow is the annual meeting of the Minds Conference, and I arranged for Erica Danchek to present on the Master Plan on Aging. And she's going to be followed by the Mental Health Services Act staff, who are presenting on housing solutions for folks coming from homelessness with serious and persistent mental health issues. So I'm really looking forward to that panel. 700 people in Orange County are coming to that conference tomorrow at the Anaheim Marriott. So it's a big deal, and appreciate having Erica communicate about the Master Plan on Aging, because I think this community probably does not know about it. I've also been working with the Older Adult Veterans Committee, and there may be, they're also doing a presentation tomorrow. And there's the third thing that I'm involved with is a faith summit, which is bringing the houses of worship together to be educated on suicide prevention, strategies for veterans, and how the faith community can be involved. And I have to drop off this meeting to go run that meeting in a minute. So lots going on in the housing and mental health world, which tend to be part of the big issues that we're talking about in the county at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth.
I really don't have anything to report.
Okay. And you've gotten speakers for us, so I guess you're...
I have.
Okay, thank you. Denise.
I'm just so glad that we had John come join us, and I had no idea that a lot of all these other people, my gosh, Dave Tetzlaff, Elizabeth, Sherry Horn, I mean, Tony Riddell, all these people have gone a notch higher or broadened their borders. And I'm just really happy. I want to be a part of that group too. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's contagious. Let's put it that way. Especially when you're retired or get more time. You just want to put more on your plate, but it's empowering. I just can learn so much more, as John said, to be a part of a group that's right there in the ring in Sacramento advocating. And we all are around seniors, and it's good to always ask, do you have any concerns, so we can put that on our plate too. I'm kind of thinking I would like, if I put another presentation on this chart, I think I would like to see what's happening in nursing homes. I think since COVID, we've learned a lot. I know AARP has put out some very good articles and legislation, but we're not over yet.
No.
I think if I can get a speaker come October for that, especially we'll be following into another flu season and all that. Right. But I would like to see that. I probably would like to add someone like that with a nursing home program and see how they've upgraded their situations in that field.
I think that's a great idea, because there were so many issues. I had resigned from being a volunteer as an ombudsman, where we called on the nursing facilities. But I talked to a lot of my friends that were doing it, and they were very concerned, because during COVID, obviously they couldn't go into the facilities.
Right.
And you know, those are only audited once every 5 years by the state. So if there's any issue going on in there and you don't have family or friends checking on you, no one knows.
Right.
It's a very dangerous situation. I still can't believe that was the first thing we learned, is every 5 years. And like, nursing homes are audited once every year, but the, that's the skilled nursing facilities, but the homes, the residential care facilities for the elderly, the RCFEs, which everyone calls board and cares, but that's the slang.
Those are
only audited once every 5 years. So the ombudsman program changed it, and we had to go into each facility our CFE once a month, because it was just not enough. I mean, when you consider there were some people there that had been there for years and had no family, and you could look in the guest book and go and see who was there. And there were days that no one was visiting other than a paid staff type person, which is scary. And then when you look at our CFEs, also, they don't have to be medical people to work there. They don't even have to be like a, I don't know what that term is for less than a nurse. I can't remember what it's called, the assistant kind. And a lot of them don't speak English and they're passing out medication. The whole thing is just kind of crazy. So yes, I think that would be excellent. And we need something, I don't know. I mean, we could have this happen again where we lock down for, you know, a month or a year or whatever. And we need something in our system. I don't know what it is, but the way this is not good.
I think you need to go back and see when was the last time these programs were evaluated.
Yes.
If you don't go back, then you don't know what kind of money and budget they're working on. You don't know the safety measures. All these can be upgraded. We can change the law to have it, you know, very much stricter rules and more accountability. You can't just let these things slip through like this and have people just be on their own without any help at all. And I think that might be where you start first, Sandy. Find out what is the state law, what is the county, what is, you know, what is your city, what are the actual code of enforcement in those areas. It's a big plate to look at, but unless you know what the standards are right now, you probably would not be able to imagine when was the last time, as we talked about, even getting social. Those people that are on SSI or whatever, that they only get $30 per month. I mean, like, that's been for decades. Yeah. That needs to be evaluated. Mm-hmm. So that's my
talk. Set up years ago. Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly.
That would be a great talk. So if you can, I'm going to pencil you in and see what we can do. That would be terrific. Thank you, Denise. And the speaker today, John, was a great idea. Terrific. Thank you. Linda Barcelona.
I was just going to say I could work with Denise maybe and work together with Denise and we could come up with somebody. I'm working in an assisted living facility now and I have access to some people that could talk about housing for people with memory care and dementia and Alzheimer's issues.
Well, that would be good.
I had an ombudsman walk into my classroom yesterday.
Oh, did
actually,
you?
First time I'd seen one that had actually introduced herself to me, but she had a little vest on and her little badge and everything.
Oh, there were wear badges, but no vests.
Good. So, Denise, do you want to do that? Maybe we could talk together about doing something like that.
Yeah, I was even thinking. I have such a big box, but I was even thinking, I don't know what the standards are right now on the shelters, even across the county. It's kind of sad to not know what different cities are allowing CityNet or Illumination or all these other hosts to come in. And yet you hear constantly complaints about what can we expect being in here? And yeah, I would love to, Linda. We can put our brains together with that. Thank you.
Okay,
terrific. And then Charlene is absent. Did I miss anybody? Okay, any other comments?
Yeah, I had a quick one.
Carol has us.
I'm kind of curious too. In addition to the nursing home or skilled facilities, that definitely is an issue. We saw what happened, that there were a lot of deaths there, obviously, and that was from the COVID when people were coming in. We don't even know the number per person there. So there's an issue there, very definitely needs review. But there's another issue, and that has to do with these private, where people have these homes. It's pretty hard to keep on top of all of it. And I happen to know there's a neighborhood, which I won't name the community, and my sister-in-law was in a Alzheimer's unit, and then I noticed they moved her, and she was moving from place to place over in this specific neighborhood because they had large homes and they had converted them within these this specific neighborhood. And I kind of wonder what kind of oversight happens there. I don't know. If you don't have somebody coming and staying on top of things, you just put a relative somewhere. Oh boy, transparency is everything. And if people need to be visited, they need you absolutely that there has to be transparency. That's a critical, whether it's government or nursing homes, when you don't have transparency, you're in trouble. And I do feel that that is very definitely an issue. And I don't know how you address it because it means, you know, having people, what do I want to say, visit and take care of it. But that's true with our own medicine, isn't it? I could go on forever, but on that issue, boy, that's, I strongly believe that you've got to have the doors open. Thank you.
That the comment you're making is very valid. And when it's in a private home like that, they are registered through the state, but those are RCFEs, residential care facilities for the elderly. And the slang is called board and cares. And in California, they're allowed 6 people, but they do not have to have any medical staff. That's the scary thing. And there are all kinds of rules and regulations, but as I said, they're only audited once every 5 years by the state. So that's why the ombudsman program is so important for that situation. And you'd be shocked to see how many, typically they're seniors, are in there that have no family and no friends checking on them. Nobody. Everybody's in another state or whatever. So what you're saying is very valid, but that's what's allowed. So it's best that we all be educated on it so we know what it's all about.
You know, a quick comment on that one. I can only tell you with my sister-in-law, first she was in a very pricey one. Even there, the attention varies. If you don't go, believe me, even if you're paying for it, don't assume, oh, we're paying lots of money, it's great. No, you better stay on top of it. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. My dad, when my mom had to go into facility, he went every day, twice a day to make sure that she was eating. And they if my dad didn't go, they knew something was wrong and they knew he was watching. So you're right. You do need somebody checking on them. You can't just place people in a facility, even if it's skilled nursing. No. And you need to not go on a regular routine. You need to go different times and different days so you can see what the meals are and all kinds of things. It's kind of scary, really, to tell you the truth. Well, thank you all. I think it's been a terrific meeting. Did I miss anything or any other comments anyone has? Fabulous. So then our next meeting will be May 12th. And Jean will be providing the presenter. And once again, we're going to talk a little bit about the toll roads and is there anything we can do to help the seniors maybe get a discount or something, and then an update on what's going on. So if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn the meeting. And thank you all for everything you do for the seniors.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Nice meeting everyone.
Thank you. Nice to have you.
Thank you.